Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
7. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side." And notice the statement, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now, let me ask you a question. How many sermons have you listened to in your lifetime? Now, I came to know the Lord back in 1983, and I just did a small calculation. One sermon every Sunday, but for a long time it was two or three a week. So I estimate maybe around 3,000 to 5,000 sermons, maybe more. Think about how many sermons. If you listen to podcasts and you listen to sermons during the week and you're in church every week, how many sermons have you actually listened to? And why do we listen to sermons? Well, we want to be instructed and we want to be challenged and we want our faith to grow. And you would think with the amount of sermons, especially, I don't have an excuse because I'm preparing the sermon, so I'm doubly responsible than you are. You would think with the amount of sermons, Bible studies, and books that we have read, that we would be super Christians, full of faith and ready to do great things for God. But yet, in spite of all that, in spite of all the sermons we've listened to, we still struggle with doubts. We still struggle with insecurities in our faith. We still have shortcomings. And this morning, we come to the resurrection. He's not here. And I wonder if we let that reality seep into our minds and into our hearts that Jesus rose from the dead. That it's not just a story, it's not just a tradition, it's not just something we say, but actually a man who died, who was buried, who was in the grave 3 days, after 3 days, came out of that grave, was seen by over 500 witnesses, lived on this earth 40 more days, and changed the world. And so I wonder if we believe. Because Jesus made the statement, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Look here, put your hands right there in the scars. I want you to look and I want you to see that I am here. Or I could say in another way, I want you to take my resurrection seriously. And I think God is saying to the church today, I want you to take me seriously. I want you to simply take me at my word. It seems today that we have to do all kinds of gymnastics to get people to church, to get people involved. We try all these different ways and methods. But I think the reality of it, or the root problem, is do we really believe? Do we believe that this man, Jesus, came back from the dead? Was it something real? Do not be unbelieving, but believe in. Now, I explained last week and in the Gospel of John last year, I explained that believing is a process. We believe to be saved, but as we grow as Christians, we got to keep believing. We got to keep growing. We got to keep trusting God. And so we come to Thomas, and Thomas's nickname is what? What do we call him? Doubting Thomas. We put our finger up. Like, oh, Thomas, doubting Thomas. Yeah, poor guy. He didn't have the faith like me. He wasn't strong. I would have been there. I would have been the first one at the grave in the morning. Yep, you'd been sleeping too, like the rest of them. And sometimes we look at Thomas, and we kind of look at him in a negative way. We call him Doubting Thomas. But as we look at the scriptures this morning, I think we're going to see Thomas in a little bit different light. Because we're all kind of like Thomas in many ways. Now, remember, Thomas is a disciple. Thomas is a believer. Thomas was faithful with Jesus. Thomas is not a hater. Jesus didn't give time to haters. He wasn't like the orthodox religious of Jesus' day that give us a sign and we'll believe in Jesus. I'm not giving you another sign. You've had all the signs. Thomas believed, but he quite didn't get it. And that's us. Because if we really believed what's written in the scripture, if we took God at his word, if we took him seriously, I believe our lives would be a little bit different. And if we understood that this man Jesus rose from the dead, he's living. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I wish I was one of those preachers that could sing that, right? I'd sing it, but I don't want you guys to leave early. So as we look at Thomas this morning, we realize that Thomas had some struggles. Let's say Thomas had some struggles. And I believe we all have struggles. And that Thomas was slow to fully get it and fully understand what he understood. And that's really the main point, why we need to believe. And so we want to ask ourselves, do we really want to believe the resurrection? And what can we learn from Thomas? And let's get out that idea, Doubting Thomas. Let's see how Thomas really relates to us. And so the first thing about Thomas today is courageous Thomas. Now, you remember in Luke chapter, John chapter 11, Lazarus died. And Jesus had a discussion with his disciples that we're going to go and see Lazarus. And then the disciples were afraid because the Jews had talked of stoning Jesus. And they said to Jesus, I don't think we should go back there. That was not a friendly place to go. Not a place that they wanted to go. They were afraid. And, you know, these guys were running scared a lot. And in chapter 11, verse 16, Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go, guys, that we may die with him." If Jesus is going to see Lazarus, let's go. Just matter-of-factly, let's go. I'm committed. If that's what it takes, I'm going. Now, Thomas knows Jesus is somebody. Thomas believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Thomas wants to be committed to Jesus, and he's taken a courageous act. I'm going to fight with Jesus. I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going to die with Jesus. But I don't know if he fully understood who Jesus was. Or if he fully understood the implications of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he was courageous, and we can be courageous without being spiritual. But it is good to be courageous. And then we have inquisitive Thomas, John chapter 14. And probably a well-known passage, you've heard the passage. Let's talk to I go, prepare a place for you. And here in verse 3 of John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. So this is a well-known passage. You've heard this passage probably at funerals and talking about going and preparing a place for us. And then Thomas, you know, the thing about Thomas, he was inquisitive and he asked the questions. And I think the point about Thomas is that he didn't follow easy believism. He wanted to be sure. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians, Peter said that in 2 Peter, make your call and election sure. And Thomas said to him in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Very well-known verse. And think about it. That verse came about because Thomas was inquisitive and asked the question. You know, there's always one. Yeah, everybody's thinking it, right? Everybody's thinking the question. And then the one that actually asks the question, we say, oh, that guy's contrary. Yeah, but you were all thinking the question. At least he was honest and asked the question. And because of his question, Jesus responded, I am the way. And I think it reveals something about understanding who Jesus is, because Thomas wanted, he said, all right, how can we know the way? Where are you going? How can we get there? And so we ask these questions of God, don't we, all the time. We ask the question, all right, what is your will today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Should I buy this? Should I go there? Should I do this? And we ask all these why questions. We say, God, why did you do that? And why aren't you doing that? And how am I going to do that? And Jesus answers the why question with, I am. It brings it back to who Jesus is. And I think it's the point that Thomas didn't quite grasp, because he knew Jesus was the Messiah and they were waiting for this political leader to take over for Rome. And he wanted, okay, Jesus, what's your plan? I think maybe that's what he's saying. All right, Jesus, what's your plan? Was he thinking about the earthly kingdom, heavenly kingdom? And Jesus revealed to Pilate that I'm not fighting now for an earthly kingdom. The problem is we want the earthly kingdom. And we're in conflict between fighting for the earthly kingdom and fighting for the heavenly kingdom. And the earthly kingdom has such a hold upon us, it's hard to break. And the only way to break it is to really understand who Jesus is. And so we have inquisitive Thomas. Then we have absent Thomas. Verse 19 of chapter 20. Then, the same day at evening, this is when Jesus, after Jesus had risen from the dead, begin the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. See, the disciples were in lockdown. See, lockdown isn't something new. They were fearful, and they were in lockdown. Because they had crucified Jesus, and they were fearful of what was going to happen, the repercussions. And so they're in the room, okay? Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, there's a lot of things we could say here about Jesus, about the resurrected body, how he was able to go through locked doors, how he was able to appear to them. But we don't have time. This morning, you can look at 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrected body is a different body than the body we have now. And you could talk about dimensions, that God is in another dimension. Anyways, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." And verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, this being Easter, I could preach a good sermon on missing church. All the times you've missed them. The Bible says the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. They were joyous when they saw Jesus. And this would be they're out there. You can look them up on YouTube. There's good sermons on this passage about missing church. And there is some application there that we do miss a blessing when we miss church. And the question is, where was Thomas? Where was old Thomas? What was he doing? The truth is, we don't know. Now, there's a lot of speculation out there. He was home pouting, and he was upset, and he was hiding. He was depressed. Maybe he was just exhausted. Maybe the other apostles didn't have the answer. But indication through these passages that maybe Thomas was still struggling with the question of the Messiah. And when he heard about Jesus, he wasn't convinced. So we have stubborn Thomas. Stubborn Thomas. The other disciples, therefore, verse 25, said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, we saw the Lord. He was there. And they start telling about the stone rolled away and about the grave clothes and about we were in a room, we were locked up, and you should have seen it. Jesus just came and he appeared to us. It was awesome. And what did Thomas say? "Unless I see his hands, the prints of his nails, put my finger into his prints of the nails, put my hand on his side, I will not believe." Stubborn Thomas. Don't you hate stubborn people? You try to explain it to them. You try to change their opinion. You get 20 arguments. They're not moving. Now, I'm not describing your wife, of course not. Stubborn people are a pain, but stubborn people are a blessing because they're faithful. They're not giving up. They're going forward, thick or thin, and they'll get things done. So stubbornness isn't necessarily a bad thing. But Thomas makes a very bold statement. "I'm not believing until I see." And in a way, he's challenging God. He's challenging Jesus. And he's probably hopeful it's true. But he's just hasn't wrapped his mind around it. Now notice confronted Thomas. And verse 26 of John chapter 20, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. He wasn't missing church again, amen? So after the blessing of today, Easter, you don't want to miss church again. He was there. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. So why did he leave him for 8 days? I don't know. But be conscious of what you say when you don't think Jesus is there. Because he heard it. In fact, be aware that Jesus is here now. Jesus is always present. And then notice verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, so he turned to Thomas. And he says, you dirty disciple. Why didn't you believe these guys? What is wrong with you, Thomas? You doubter. Oh, you don't have that version. That's the made-up version. There's a lot of that around. I should have noticed the tone of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the willingness of Jesus. Now, again, remember, Thomas is not an unbeliever. He's not antagonistic towards Christianity. He's searching and trying and struggling. And in your struggles and in your searching today, God wants to reveal himself to you. God is accepting the challenge. And he's really coming to Thomas and saying, I've accepted the challenge. And Thomas, I want you to know something. Look right here. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Come to me with your questions. Come to me with your doubt. Come to me with your concerns. Come to me with your insecurities. Reach your finger here and search me and try me. And God this morning is not ignoring your questions or your doubts. God is accepting them and saying, I have the answers for you if you will seek me. In fact, what he's saying is, I am the answer. I am the answer because look at my hands. I am alive. I am right before you, risen from the dead. And then we have believing Thomas. And again, we have two statements from Thomas that are really very well known and very powerful statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here we have the most concise doctrinal statement. Some churches have doctrinal statements. You need a degree to read them and go through them. This is very concise. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He finally got it. He finally got who Jesus was. He finally got it. He wasn't just a political leader to bring about the kingdom so Thomas could get personal satisfaction. He was the Lord. My Lord, which means master. You see, Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not just an example. He's just not one of many religious people. He's not a revolutionary. He's not just a falsely accused person who went to the cross. He is Lord. He is God. Someone said this, he is Lord of all or not Lord at all. I think sometimes one of our problems is he's part-time Lord. Like, we take a part-time job because we don't want to be committed full-time. And he can be Lord on Sunday morning, but is he Lord on Monday morning? If he's a part-time Lord, he's not Lord at all. And so Thomas went from that question, Lord, what is the way, to understand it? Wait a minute, I am the way. Now, instead of Thomas, that he went to India, and there's still a group in India that call themselves Thomas Christians. He was committed. And once he got it, he was stubborn. He's courageous. He's concise. You see, you know what I want for you this morning? Before you do anything for Jesus, I want you to be convinced who Jesus is. If you're convinced who Jesus is, I don't have to get up and try to motivate you and have schemes to get people going and all this. You understand Jesus is Lord of everything. He's Lord of my life. He's Lord of my time. He's Lord of my money. He's Lord of my body. He is Lord. Why? He's not here. He is risen. And Jesus says to us, verse 29, then Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Listen, we're human. We all have doubts. We're all human. We question things. But when we look at the empty tomb, that's God's answer. He's not here. And it's almost like I said, he's either Lord or he's not. He's either God or he's not. Because if you take the teachings of the New Testament and you take away the resurrection, it's pretty much worthless. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He's showing me beautiful, beautiful downtown Harvard, beautiful church building. I said, we don't have the money. We're not meeting yet. And as I was looking around the church building, I don't know if I could call the place a church. I told him, you know what the problem is? It's not money. You don't have the gospel. Because only the gospel can take a person that's dead and bring them back to life. Only the gospel can take a life that's full of bitterness and anger and give them peace and joy. Only the gospel can take a person that's struggling with their self-worth and who they are and make them understand they're in Christ. That's the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul said, if there is no risen Christ, we're wasting our time. Thomas, be not unbelieving. And that's my challenge to me, my challenge to you. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Because Jesus rose again, and it changes everything. It changes everything in our lives. It changes our purpose. It changes our destination. It changes who we are. It changes how we relate to others because Jesus is risen and we have a hope that no man can ever take away from us. Because the scars are there. Because he came back. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've risen again. We thank you for new life. Lord, we thank you for people like Thomas, Lord, that though they have questions, they were sincere. And Lord, maybe there's some people here that have some sincere questions. Lord, we know you have the answers. Maybe there's people here that are struggling with belief. The fact that we're still talking about the resurrection 2,000 years later is just one of the many evidences that Jesus arose. Lord, maybe there's somebody this morning that needs to make that a reality in their lives. They're not saved. They're not sure that they've been risen with Christ. Maybe they need to come this morning, accept you, and cry out to you as Lord and God. Lord, we pray this morning, this as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we pray for our town, we pray for our country, we pray for people here that may be struggling with work, with school, we pray for our students still going through difficult times. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them that the power of the resurrection is there, that we can live for you in your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning. If you want to come, you're welcome to come and pray and just ask God to make the resurrection a reality in your life.